shifted on my haunches uncomfortably. I didn't know what it was. You'd think they'd care about that. But how does that change the situation? He shook his head at me as if I was being slow. Maybe I was. The Galactics have it in for us. They have since the beginning. I tell you, the fix is in. They're scoring this fight. The one where we don't have the revival machines. So this time we can't make one troop come back to life over and over. We can't make it look like he never died. We'll have to confess our real losses. I thought about that. Body count. You're telling me we really do cheat to keep our position? We get contracts because it looks like we always win, because our troops are still alive when it's over?
Yeah, that's about right. It's not that way on every world. But this is a tough one, with a tough local competitor. They've studied our methods for years. All those crazy contracts asking us to protect every snot-nosed air and mining complex. The Saurians have rigged this game. We fell into it face first, too. We even pissed off the judges, the Galactics, the Nerbs, everyone. Now, when this mess is over, the Nerb accountants will come out here and count bodies living and dead. We won't be around to hide the evidence. The results will be clear. The Saurians will have won with fewer losses.
But what about tech and fighter power? Asked Kivi suddenly. Why doesn't the Tribune send us his heavies to relieve us?
He might, but I bet he won't, answered Harris. He's doing the calculus, too. He knows that the level of armament counts. The number we start with counts against us as well. He could have sent the heavy units right away, but didn't. If he relieved us now, that would make the battle bigger and erase any claim we could make that we were outgunned. I'm sure he's playing it the best he can from his point of view. But no matter what, I think we're screwed.
I thought about the revival units in a new light after that conversation. They weren't just insurance policies for the unfortunate few. Our commanders thought of them as vital equipment. Our legions never ran out of troops. It was like having magic magazines that never ran out of ammo. A huge advantage. This was especially true when it came to scoring who won battles and who was the most effective fighter. In order to stay on top, we had to prove we were the best, over and over. This time, however, we were going to lose. The next attack came in daylight when the sun was at its worst. The two hot suns of Cancri were fully revealed overhead, with no cloud cover to provide merciful relief. Inside our suits, air conditioners whispered and whirred with fans that struggled to keep up. In the early afternoon, I was dozing underground in a crater covered with slabs of leaning puffcrete. Harris came by, tapped my helmet, and I jumped awake. He gestured with a thumb, jabbing upward. I knew what that meant. It was my turn to do a 20-minute shift on the surface, watching for the enemy. Like a gopher poking his head out of a hole, I warily crept up to the top of the rubble heap we inhabited and looked around my position in a slow circle. Seeing nothing other than a few other gophers posted here and there around the compound, I got out my snap rifle and gazed through the scope, increasing my range of vision. The scope automatically adjusted for the glaring light of the suns overhead, but still, it wasn't enough to make the light pouring through into my eye socket completely comfortable. Squinting, I did my best to scan the area farther out, looking through the gaps in our walls and the mounds of metal shavings piled up around the entry holes their drillers had used the last time. Some of the guys in my unit were grumbling that only the recruits had to play gopher and do surface duty. I didn't feel that way. Sure, we were at greater risk and felt more discomfort, but the others, the weaponeers, officers, and our last few techs and bios, they needed to be protected. They were not as expendable as we were. In a siege, everyone was decidedly unequal. I didn't like guard duty, especially around the 15-minute mark when my air conditioner began to hiccup and the air in my helmet turned warm. But I understood that I wasn't here to have a good time. If the enemy decided to hit us with their heavy troops again, only the weaponeers with their thick black tubes could kill them. Only the bios could repair the wounded, perhaps keeping our body count low. And the techs, well, they kept our suits, communication systems, and other critical equipment functioning. Even now, they were underneath my position in the tunnels, connecting our bunkers underground so we could move between them without exposing ourselves. If the walls were penetrated by the enemy again, we now had vital cool spots for soldiers to rest and recuperate. Who was I? Only a guy with a rifle. A lightly trained, lightly armed recruit who was on his first campaign. I could hardly demand nor expect special treatment. So I sat sweating and trying to adjust the cooling tubes in the fabric of my suit every minute or two. It was an impossible task, of course. Spots on the upper surfaces of my arms and helmet grew burning hot frequently. I tried to crouch in the shade of an overhang, but there was only partial cover. Overly exposed to the radiation of Cancri, it was all I could do to sweat, mutter curses, and constantly check my tapper to see if my stint was up yet. When they finally hit us, I didn't believe it at first, thinking that the shadows I saw moving through holes punched in the walls of the compound must be something else, anything other than what I knew they had to be. Then, the first jugger dipped its massive head into the hole and dripped saliva on the rubble. I froze for a fraction of a second. This was real, I told myself. I was facing a monster, and its spittle was steaming to vapor the instant it touched the hot stones. They told us the monsters wouldn't come until evening. It was too hot out, even for them. They were native to this world, but in the warm season, even the native animals kept to the cool green forests and the shade of their stark buildings. Most of the planet's wildlife was nocturnal for very good reasons. But none of those assurances applied today. I was so hot I wasn't even sure I wasn't hallucinating. But I wasn't going to sit on my can anyway. I swung my snap rifle up, sighted on the left eye, and hammered out a burst of 10 pellets. With one eye destroyed, the jugger reared up, roaring. Its great head struck the top of the hole it had leaned through, but a moment later it managed to pull back and disappeared. I opened a comm channel and tried to report the sighting, but it was unnecessary and nearly impossible. Everyone was chattering, giving orders, asking for confirmation. They'd all heard the firing and the roar. They knew it was time to scramble into our defensive positions. Harris came up behind me, looming close. His body blocked out the yellow sun. The red one was behind a building, and for that I was grateful. I stayed with my rifle sighted on the hole, but so far the jugger hadn't reappeared.
Was that you firing, McGill?
Yes, veteran.
Did you hit it?
Took out an eye.
Well done. Did you know your AC is dead, kid?
I looked up at him for a moment. I had to admit I did feel even hotter than I had a minute ago.
I thought I was just getting overexcited, I said.
He huffed at me.
Get below before you fry, you moron. I need every troop I have, even you. Take it to the techs and have a bio check you for heat stroke.
But they're about to hit us.
Yeah, he said. I know. Hurry.
I slithered from my position downward. Harris assumed my spot and I could hear him muttering curses about exposure and heat. That brought half a smile to my face. I rather liked hearing him suffer up there on the hot seat. I was staggering when I reached the central tunnels. A tech grabbed my arm and began working my tapper before I could speak.
Exhausted fuel cell, she said. Your generator isn't recharging your cells.
Can I get a new generator, please?
No, she said. They're on reserve for emergencies.
I nodded, but I was thinking that as far as I was concerned, AC failure in 150 degrees was an emergency. But what did I know? I wasn't a tech. Before I could say much else, she opened my back panel and rammed two new cells into place.
Without a generator, you'll have to switch these out every 2 hours, less if you go out onto the surface.
I mumbled a thank you and went in search of water. Harris had said something about bios, but right now, I needed a drink. The bios might be territorial about their equipment and a little nuts when it came to protecting secrets, but when they saw me weaving and wandering down the tunnel toward their station, they rushed out to help. Mattis reached me first. He was tall and thin, with dark, serious eyes surrounded by deep worry lines. He looked me over quickly and professionally. I'd first met Specialist Mattis when the Raptors had stolen the revival machine. He'd been one of the lucky people who'd escaped slaughter in that underground vault.
"Where you hit, recruit?" he asked.
"What?"
"I don't see any punctures,"
said an orderly, talking over my head as if I wasn't there.
"But he seems disoriented."
"I really need a drink," I said.
"Get that helmet off him,"
Mattis ordered. Both the techs and the bios I'd found were extremely effective when it came to spotting trouble that they could fix. I didn't struggle. I let them do their work. I sank down on the floor of the tunnel. Hands gripped my helmet and opened it. Cool air washed in a moment later. I sighed in relief. I hadn't realized that it was cooler in the tunnel than it was inside my suit.
"That's better," I said.
Biospecialist Mattis was crouching over me, looking into my eyes, tapping on my tapper. He looked concerned. I marveled at how specialists thought nothing of taking over when they had you in their grasp.
"Your blood levels are off," he said. "I'm seeing toxins that shouldn't be here. Have you been poisoned?"
"I don't think so. My suit AC shut down and I had my cells replaced."
"Is there a leak? Turn him over."
I felt hands grab me and flip me over. I felt like a kid, and I resisted slightly, then let them do it. I wasn't too trusting of bios lately, but these people seemed to be trying to help.
"No rupture in the cells," Mattis said.
I finally opened my eyes and stared into his. He was frowning suspiciously.
"You're not telling me something, recruit," he said.
At first I was baffled, but then I thought I understood what he must be reading in my blood tests, which my suit monitored constantly.
"I had a bad grow a while back," I said.